The following audio content is from a class taught by Tim Smith in the Water From Rock weekly classes. For more information, see our website, waterfromrock.org. Welcome to Water From Rock. I am Tim Smith, and today we are continuing our series, Life Wisdom from the Book of Proverbs, and we're going to be exploring a fascinating prayer, the prayer of Augur, that is found in Proverbs chapter 30. In the year 2000, my seminary classmate Bruce Wilkinson published the book, The Prayer of Jabez, that went on to be quite a publishing phenomenon. It was followed by The Prayer of Jabez Study Bible, The Prayer of Jabez Devotional, The Prayer of Jabez Journal, and there were three versions that were rewritten for children, one for preschoolers, one for those 8 to 12, and another one for teenagers. And the prayer of Jabez is based upon that prayer found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, where in this long list of names, this genealogy about people who lived and they died, they lived and they died, there was this man who stands out, it says, is more honorable than his brothers. As he prays this prayer, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from the evil one." And it says, God granted his request. Now, the prayer of Jabez became popular with many people. With the idea, if you pray every day that God would bless you, that you would receive the blessing that you were asking for. The prayer of Jabez became especially popular among the prosperity gospel churches, asking for God's blessing. Now, today, as we explore rather the prayer of Augur, I do not have the hopes that the prayer of Augur will ever become as popular as the prayer of Jabez has become. And yet, I think you'll find the prayer of Augur to be a very wonderful prayer, a very godly prayer that God would intend for us to take up as our daily prayer. The prayer of Augur. Last week, we were looking at the liberating virtue of humility, of how being humble before God frees us up, releases us to live life to the full. Well, as we think about humility, I think that this man, Augur, is a real portrait in humility. And the prayer of Augur stands out as the only prayer in the book of Proverbs. And I find it quite profound in the way it addresses wealth and poverty. And approximately 30% of the Proverbs actually deal with wealth and poverty. They deal with how we handle money. How we obtain money, how money is used, our attitude towards money. And I think you'll find that Proverbs is not simplistic about money. Proverbs says that there are clear benefits from having money, but there are also dangers. Now, this prayer of Augur comes in Proverbs chapter 30. Chapter 30 of Proverbs is the Proverbs of Augur. They are the only ones of his Proverbs that we have. But in verses 7 through 9 of Proverbs 30, we have this prayer. "Two things I ask of you. Do not deny them to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I shall be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." And that's the prayer of Augur. Let's unpack it now and let's explore this very important prayer from the book of Proverbs. Notice here that Proverbs says that he wants two things this side of death. He says, do not deny them to me before I die. And I think that suggests that Augur does not yet believe that he has them. He wants to be able one day to look back on his life and know that he has had these two things. Remove far from me falsehood and lying, and give me neither poverty nor riches. When he says remove far from me falsehood and lying, he is wanting to be removed from the falsehood and lying of a culture that deceives people about what is important in life. Remove that far from me. I was thinking just the other day about how so many of the car commercials are really not about the car, but they are about how you look on the beach or how you look in the eyes of a good-looking woman or whatever else. And same thing with beer commercials. It's not really saying that their beer is better than another beer, but it's selling something about how you are perceived by the culture. And here Augur is praying. He says, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Remove from me the falsehood of what the culture is saying to me about what is important in life. Remove from me the falsehood about the gusto that I need to go for. He says, remove far from me falsehood and lying. And then he prays. He prays, give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, I could certainly pray that first part, give me neither poverty. No, I don't want that. But notice that he prays, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need. Trusting in the providence of God in all that he receives, Augur is not going to ask God for either poverty or riches. He leaves that with God. But notice that he does ask God for the food that he needs. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need. And here, as he talks about being fed with the food that he needs, food is really representative of all of our personal needs. Feed me with the food that I need. Give me all the things that are essential. Give me all the things that are needed for life. Now, it's interesting in this phrase, food that I need, that comes from a Hebrew word meaning appointed. It is suggesting that God appoints that which we need. God appoints the provision for us as he sees fit. And so we can look back on our lives and we can say that God has appointed to us that which was best for us. The food that I need, the things that I need. And Augur, I think, is asking for just the bare necessities of life, but he's asking for God's provision according to what God sees fit to provide each one of us. Compare that with Jesus teaching his disciples to pray in the Lord's Prayer. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need for this day. I'm not talking about tomorrow, but give me what I need for this day. It's interesting. Almost 100 years ago, archaeologists were digging around a trash heap in Egypt. And they came across what archaeologists love to come across. They came across this old stack of thrown away papyri. And in that papyri, they found a housewife's shopping list, the things that she would go to the market to get for that day. And at the top of her shopping list on that papyri, they found the word here that Jesus used in the Lord's Prayer, daily bread, the things that she needed for that day. And that's what we're taught to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I'll trust you tomorrow, but give me what I need for today. And I have to be honest, there are times in my life that I just wanted God to go ahead and give me just a big hunk of bread so I wouldn't need to keep trusting him daily. But Augur is asking for God's provision according to what God sees fit to give. So I'm not asking for poverty. I'm not asking for riches. But Lord, surprise me. You give to me what you want to give. And here in Proverbs 30, Augur is recognizing the limits of his wisdom. And he knows the importance of trusting God for what God provides. Some time ago, my wife Reed and I came across a prayer request that we very much like to offer up to God. Knowing that as parents, we long to give good gifts to our children, so we like to go to our Heavenly Father and pray simply, surprise us. You go ahead and give us what you want to give us. And Augur is stating this implicit trust in God's provision and God's protection. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need. Give me that which you have appointed for me. Now, in this prayer, we see that Augur also knows the temptations that accompany riches. He knows how riches can sometimes make people feel self-sufficient and they deny God in their lives. And so he says, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Now, you know, Moses had warned about such a thing happening as the Israelites were still in the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 17 through 18, Moses says, do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gained me this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't against money, but he knew that there were dangers with money, that there were temptations with wealth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he said to his disciples in Matthew 19, then Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was not against riches, but he was well aware of the dangers of them. So it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. I read recently of a wealthy man who on his deathbed, he said he wanted to go for a trip. And when asked what was the trip that he wanted to go on, he said, I want to be the world's smallest camel going through the world's largest needle. So Augur is well aware of the dangers that would go with money. So Lord, you give me what I need. You give me the food that I need, that which you have appointed for me. I think of the Apostle Paul, who this same kind of attitude, he urges contentment with that which God has appointed to us, warning against setting our heart on riches. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, the Apostle Paul says, "Of course, there is great gain with godliness combined with contentment." I find that a striking sentence. There is great gain, there is great profit to be made with godliness combined with contentment. "For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich," it's not being rich that's the problem. He says it's those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Read today's news, and you'll see many examples of that. And so our Lord Jesus Christ encouraged people to seek riches in eternity rather than in this world. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Some years ago, I was in India and ministering there in a church. And at one point, I said to the pastor of the church, I said, I want you to know that people in my church and Christians in America, that we're praying for you here. We have a sense of the problems that you are enduring and the many needs that you have, and we are praying for you." And he turned around and right back said to me, he says, "Well, I want you to know that we here in India, we're praying for you in America, because we can only imagine the temptations and the problems that go with your prosperity." That really spoke to me. And I think that is at the very heart of the prayer of Augur. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I shall be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Now, I can imagine that being so poor without food, I can imagine stealing from my family, stealing for myself. And Augur says, "Lord, I don't want that. You give me the food that I need. I don't want to profane your name by my actions." I notice here that Augur, above everything else, he is concerned about God's glory. Some years ago, when Mother Teresa was here in America, she talked about how she grieved for the poverty that she saw here in America. She clarified that. She said she grieved for the spiritual poverty that she saw here in this land of plenty. I think about television commercials that we oftentimes see of hungry children in Africa, in Asia, other parts of the world, and our hearts grieve, our hearts are moved by the poverty that we see. And I just wonder about the grief that our Heavenly Father has when he sees the spiritual poverty that is rampant in our land. Augur does not see in his prayer, he does not seek poverty because he knows it can be a curse. Nor does he seek riches because he knows that can be a curse. But he puts all of that material prosperity in its proper place, well below of that of his desire to honor God in all things. I think the prayer of Augur speaks to the truth that we see in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16, where he says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it." Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. I like the prayer of Augur. I like to pray it often because it causes me to look at the priorities of my prayer. Do I live with contentment? Do I trust in God's appointment to me of that which is best for me and those whom I love? Is my prayer God-centered, God-focused, or is it self-centered? So, Lord, two things I ask of you. Do not deny them to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Don't let me be caught up in the falsity of a culture trying to tell me about what's important in life. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need, or I shall be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or I shall be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. That's the prayer of Augur. May his tribe increase. I'm a fellow traveler, Tim Smith. Thank you for listening.